give you all a very warm welcome to this time of prayer and Bible study. We are grateful to Pastor Marshall, who is here with us tonight, who will be leading this time and bringing to us God's Word. Thank you.
Well, it's good to see you all tonight. May the Lord richly bless us as we come together from different congregations to particularly pray on this Friday evening. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight Reverend Jeff Marshall from Totton. And after the opening praise and prayer, Pastor Marshall is going to bring to us the Word of God. Well, let's turn then to our first praise, Psalm 85. We're going to sing from the 6th verse through to verse 13. That in thee may thy people joy, wilt thou not us revive? Show us thy mercy, Lord, to us, who thy salvation give. Psalm 85, the tune is Naomi, and we're going to sing from the 6th verse through to verse 13.
Thy salvation.
Look down upon us and remember us this evening hour. We come to thee, O Lord. We recognize that thou art the living and the true God. And help us this night to be aware of thee. Help us to find thee in prayer. Speak to us through thy word. Cleanse us from our latest sins, O Lord, even at this day. Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And we seek that fatherly forgiveness right at the outset of this hour. Favour us, O Lord, we beseech thee tonight. We thank thee for thy servant being in the midst of us, and we pray that thou would bless him as he brings the word to us. And then later, as we pray, we do thank thee, O Lord, that we can come together as brethren from different local congregations to seek thy face. And O Lord, as we seek thy face, may we know the light of thy countenance. May we find mercy and favour in time of need. Bless us now. We come to thee to give thee the glory. We worship thee. And we adore thee. Hear us now, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, it is my pleasure to welcome Pastor Jeff Marshall and the church in Totten to address the meeting. Thank you.
Turn with me tonight in God's word to the prophet Ezekiel and chapter 22. Ezekiel and chapter 22. And we read from the 17th verse. Ezekiel 22 and verse 17. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof, as silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her people, of her prophets, in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and the precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither hath they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. And the text I bring to you tonight is that 30th verse of Ezekiel chapter 22. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. We just need to understand that the context of this portion of the prophecy of Ezekiel, Israel's rebellion and Israel's sinfulness was so great that God declares that in his sight they are become as dross. Verse 18. The house of Israel is to me become dross. The smelting or the refining process is to refine. Silver and gold are put in the furnace and they are smelted and they are refined to remove the dross and leave the pure metal, that which is valuable. And that is the emphasis that we read of in some of the other prophets. Malachi alludes to this in chapter 3, in verses 2 and 4. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And of course, the Lord, through the work of the Holy Spirit, the process of sanctification is the refining of the believer, that the burning up of the dross, that on that day we may be presented before the Lord as pure in Christ. But the emphasis here in Ezekiel is upon the worthlessness of the dross. And God's wrath, God tells through Ezekiel, is going to burn against Israel. What solemn and terrible words, verse 21. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. And God would raise up the nation of Babylon, the Chaldeans, and they were going to be the instrument in the hand of God to chastise Judah and his people. Judgment was going to fall upon God's people for the grossness of their iniquity. And they will seek refuge in Jerusalem, but there will be no refuge to be found in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem, under the hand of God, will be razed to the ground. Verses 19 and 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. And the leaders of the nation and the governors were at fault, and the prophets and the priests and the officials in the land, they were all guilty of sinning against the Lord God Almighty. And so the question is asked, is there any hope for Judah? Is there any hope for Jerusalem? And that brings us to our text, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And we're going to look at this text under three headings this evening. Firstly, one who stands in the gap. Secondly, referring to the one who stands in the gap, one who turns away the wrath of God. And then thirdly and finally, we will make an application of this text as we consider the need of the hour in which we are living today. Firstly, then, one who stands in the gap. A little earlier in the prophecy, in chapter 13 and verses 4 and 5, the Lord has this complaint against his people. Chapter 13 and verse 4. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge, for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. And the Lord there complains that they have not prayed, they have not cried unto the Lord on behalf of the people. But that has not always been the case amongst the Lord's people. And firstly tonight, we're going to consider the servant of God, Moses. And we read concerning Moses these words in Psalm 104 and verse 21. And the psalmist there says this, Psalm 104 and verse 21. Sorry, Psalm 106 and verse 21. They forgat God their Saviour, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous things in the land of Ham, terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. And Moses was the great mediator between God and the people. After receiving the commandments on Sinai, you'll remember that there was the thunders and the lightnings and the earth shook. And Moses was in the mount, and God spoke to Moses, and God gave the law to Moses. And we read this immediately after the giving of the commandments. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And so Moses was the mediator between God and God's people. He stood between God in his holiness and his righteousness, and he gave the words that God spoke to him. And he relayed them to the people. And there's a lovely scene recorded. Well, it's not a lovely scene, but it's a lovely truth concerning Moses. You'll remember that while he was in the mount communing with God, that the people under Aaron built the golden calf. And we read in Exodus 32 and at verse 31, concerning Moses. And Moses returned unto the Lord. He'd seen the calf. He'd seen the people dancing and worshipping this golden calf. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people has sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Moses standing between God in his holy righteousness and between a people that had so grievously turned from the living God and sinned against him. And such was his concern, such was his love for the people, that he pleaded with God and he said, "Forgive their sin, and if not, then blot me out of thy book." And of course, Moses, as the great mediator, he was a type, he was a forerunner of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Moses himself spoke of the one who would be raised up like him and after him. And so we read in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18, Moses says this, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I have commanded him. And Moses spoke of one that would come after him, one whom the Lord God would raise up. And he was looking to that day when God would send forth his only begotten Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the one who became one with us in our humanity, the one who took our flesh and became flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. As we read in Hebrews 2 and verse 16, speaking of our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore in all things, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And you'll remember that Job, in his great trial and affliction, when he was suffering and not understanding why he was suffering under the hand of God, Job had this complaint. Job said, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that may lay his hand upon us both." And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is that great daysman. He is the great mediator. He is the one who is both God and man. He can lay his hand upon God, being God, and he can lay his hand upon men, being man. And he stands in the breach. He stands in that gap that has been caused by our sin, that sin that Isaiah writes of so graphically in the 59th chapter, where Isaiah says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And such is our condition as we are born into this world in our natural fallen state, that our sins have separated between us and God. And there is that mighty gulf, and God will not hear the prayers of those who are dead in trespass and sin. But we have one. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great mediator, who stands in that gap, who lays hold upon God as God, and lays hold upon man, having taken our humanity and become bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Oh, the mercy and the goodness of our Lord. Secondly, then, the turning away of wrath. Our text speaks about, because there was no one to stand in the breach, God's wrath would be poured out. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." And the verse before that verse that I've just read in Isaiah 59, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear." And sovereign grace, the grace of our sovereign God alone, provided a second Adam, a last Adam. A second Adam to the rescue came. And God himself God the Son stood in the gap, stood in that breach, in the person of his blessed Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we think of Calvary. We read that during the ministry and the life of our Saviour, he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem. Nothing would deter him. Nothing would turn him back. Though there were many obstacles and there were many times when Satan would seek to turn him back. But our Saviour set his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem. And there at Calvary, where they crucified the Lord, there were those 3 hours of darkness. The sun was darkened. There was darkness over the whole earth. And what took place in that darkness was hidden from the gaze of man. And the Son of God, the mediator, the God-man, he was made sin for us. He bears there on Calvary's tree the wrath of God, the holy, righteous wrath of God for the sins of his people. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sin. The wrath is turned away from us who are in Christ because that wrath fell upon Christ at Calvary. Upon the one who is the Lamb of God, without blemish, without spot, without stain. And when the darkness lifted, the Lord Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice, that great cry of victory, "It is finished." The work that the Father gave him to do had been accomplished. He had borne God's wrath in the place, in the stead of his people. His work was finished, and he bowed his head, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. That veil that separated in the temple the Holy of Holies, the place that symbolized the presence of the living God in the midst of his people. And now, by the grace of God, sinners who have been washed in that precious blood of Christ, washed in that fountain that has been opened for sin and uncleanness, we can enter into the veil. We can enter into the presence, enter into the Holy of Holies, enter into the presence of God in heaven above, and by grace we call him our Father. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me." And so our blessed Saviour, our blessed and glorious Redeemer, was one that stood in the gap, stood in the breach. And as one of the hymn writers puts it, two arms outstretched to save. He was the one, he was the prophet that Moses spoke of, that God would raise up to be the true mediator between God and men. He was the daysman that Job longed for. Job's complaint was that there was no daysman betwixt us And the Lord Jesus Christ came as that daysman, as that mediator. And so in these days of grace, we have the truth of how Timothy, how Paul wrote to Timothy, that well-known verse, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so our text reads, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found not. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave. He was raised on the third day. He spent those 40 days in the resurrection appearances, preparing the apostles for the mighty task that lay ahead of them. He ever lives in heaven above now as our great and glorious High Priest, ever lives to make intercession for his people. Again, we read in Hebrews in chapter 7 concerning the great office of the Lord Jesus as being our High Priest. Wherefore, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an High Priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those High Priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. We have a great High Priest who has done all that is necessary. His sacrifice was sufficient to save his people from all their sins. And so God himself provided one who alone is worthy. God himself provided one who would stand in the gap, who would stand in the breach and intercede for his people. And we have gathered together tonight to pray for church and nation, and how great the need of this hour is tonight. When we study the Old Testament scriptures, we see that there were three principal things by which God judged the people. There was the sending of pestilence amongst the people as a judgment upon sin. There was the withholding of rain from heaven, drought. And there was inflation. The prophet Haggai speaks about the people earning money to put into bags with holes, speaking of the devaluation of money. And have we not, and are we not witnessing those three things in our day and generation? We've had 2 years of the COVID pandemic. We've had a drought. We came tonight in the rain, but there is still a drought in the land. And we are experiencing a time of great inflation in the economy. And yet in the mercy of God, It is yet a day of grace. And the need of the hour, the urgency of the hour, is that God would raise up those who would stand in the gap to intercede, to plead for those who will not plead for themselves in this nation. Now, I believe that normally this meeting's held on the first Friday of the quarter. And in the providence of God, we're on the third Friday of the quarter. But how much worse is the situation in our land tonight than it was a fortnight ago? And the great need of the hour is for God to raise up those who will stand in the gap and cry unto him and plead with him and intercede for nation and for church. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And we do not come with any pride, but we can only come humbly before our God. And we can only come in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true and only mediator between God and men. And as we come tonight, as being our practice over the years, as we come tonight again to plead for church and for nation, perhaps it will yet please the Lord to revive his work in the midst of the years. We live in a day of grace. We live in a day when God's mercy is extended. And in Ezekiel's day, the Lord found none who would stand in the gap, none who would stand in the breach and intercede for the nation. And we have this opportunity, we have this privilege again tonight to gather together, and we come in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we stand, as it were, in the gap. And we pray for our nation. And we pray for the church. A nation that has been so signally blessed in former years, and yet has so grievously turned from the living God. Sin is a reproach to any people. It is righteousness that exalts a nation. And we are experiencing the reproach of sin in our nation at this time. And again, we can come before the Lord tonight, and we can cry unto him, and we can mourn the apostasy and the backsliding within the church. We do not come with pride, we do not come trusting in ourselves, but we come in the name of our Lord and our Saviour, the one who is the Lord, our righteousness. It is his church, and how it must grieve his heart to see, as in days of old, men and women proclaiming things that the Lord has not said, that the Lord has not declared, in the name of the Lord. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And we have as an example Moses, who stood before the Lord and he pleaded before the Lord that the Lord would forgive his people their wickedness and their sinfulness. The Apostle Paul could write concerning Israel, concerning the Jews, that he would be cast away if the Lord would show mercy upon Israel. And we come tonight and ask that the Lord would look upon us in mercy and look upon the church and the nation in mercy in these critical and difficult days in which we are called, in which we are privileged to live for Christ. Amen. Let us pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we draw near into thy presence now because we have one who is our great mediator. We have one who is our great and glorious high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty on high, one who ever lives to make intercession for us, one who has laid down his life, one who has shed his precious lifeblood, that we may be washed and cleansed from our sins, that we may be brought into thy presence and declared to be not guilty. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank thee for such grace, and we thank thee for such mercy. We thank thee again for our blessed Redeemer. We thank thee for those two arms outstretched to save. And we thank thee that many bowed in thy presence this evening have tasted of thy grace and have experienced that so great salvation which is in Christ alone. And Lord, we have read of those days in the time of the prophet Ezekiel when the Lord found no one to stand in the gap, to stand in the breach. And Lord, we pray that thou would give us hearts of compassion, hearts that would be moved with the love of God toward this generation. We read of our Lord and Saviour how he viewed the multitudes and his heart was moved within him, for he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And Lord, we gather tonight to pray for the church and pray that thou would forgive us our foolish ways. We pray that we may return again to the precious word of God, that we may seek to live according to thy word, that we may walk closer day by day with our Saviour, that we may daily take up the cross and follow him. And we come again tonight, Lord, to plead for this nation. We thank thee for all that thou hast done and all the deliverances that thou hast wrought for this nation in days past. And Lord, we mourn the state of the land tonight. We mourn the pride of man's heart before God, and we pray that thou would have mercy upon us and help us, Lord, to be faithful to stand in the gap and to intercede and to cry unto the Lord. And Lord, if it please thee, for the honour of thy Son, for the glory of our Saviour Jesus Christ, wilt thou yet in wrath remember mercy? Wilt thou yet revive thy work in the midst of the years? May we see precious souls being brought out of darkness, being brought out of the death and the bondage of sin to that new life, abundance of life in Christ our Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I noted some words that Pastor Marshall mentioned tonight. How great is the need of the hour, and how true that is. We're reminded we have a great God who is more than able to meet the need of the hour. And we're grateful for Pastor Marshall bringing to us the word tonight. But for those of you who are here for the first time, let me just mention there are two sessions of prayer. Between the two sessions, we will sing the 131st Psalm. It's a precious psalm. There's a number here tonight, so I'm going to call on the brethren to pray. Some of us here meet on a pastor's prayer meeting on Zoom. And Pastor Gary Hyam, rightly, he asked the senior ministers to begin the meeting. And I thought that would be good tonight, to ask the senior ministers to lead us tonight, and then I'll call on some of the brethren to pray. So if I could ask Pastor Fackway to begin, and then Pastor Watts to lead us tonight, and then after the senior ministers have led us, if I could ask Peter Pike to pray in the first session, and then Mr. Topping. So Pastor Fackway, Pastor Watts, and then Peter Pike, and Mr. Topping, and then we'll break for the second praise. Just before we pray, there are a number I hope to call on 8 men tonight, but if we can just bear in mind the time, just to give everybody an opportunity to pray. Thank you, Pastor Fackway.
O Lord, we come before thee, and we bless thee for the one who has stood in the breach and has laid hold upon God for us and laid hold upon us, brought about a glorious reconciliation on the ground of his atonement and perfect righteousness. And we stand on mercy's ground as we draw near to thee, and we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, in the sure expectation that that mercy is always extended and ever comes to us, lavished upon us. How we praise thee, dear Lord. It is Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me. And Lord, in his dear name we come to thee, and we would take hold of thy strength and pray that thou wilt draw near to us. And may thine ears be open unto our prayers, and may the throne of grace in heaven be manifested to us for our comfort and our encouragement. Lord, we need mercy, and we need grace to help in time of need. And we thank thee for the gift of the Spirit, the gracious Comforter, helping us in our infirmities and drawing us out in prayer. May we know these things this evening as we thank thee for the word of God, and now we thank thee for access to that God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt visit us in these days. Thou knowest, O Lord, the dreadful state of both church and nation, and we acknowledge and confess our manifest and manifold sins and transgressions and iniquities, and how far we have fallen. But, O Lord, we thank thee that thy mercy yet is extended, and we cannot fall further than thy mercy can reach. Lord, come to us, we pray. Do a gracious thing again in our time, and show thyself a God who can hear us, for thine ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, nor thine arm shortened that it cannot save. But Lord, blot out our sins and cleanse us, we pray, and come in all the fullness of grace. And we pray that thou wilt revive thy work in the midst of the years. And we pray, O God, breathe upon thy churches by the power of the Holy Ghost, and grant us that felt sense of God and the power of the Word and the working of the Spirit. Save souls in our congregations and edify thy church. And Lord, speak to this nation through our gospel and make it the power of God. Save multitudes in these days. Bless our feeble outreach, but Lord, thou dost take the weak things of this world, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Yeah. O Lord, be with us in these days. Bring out, Lord, thy people from worldly churches and compromised situations, and bring them into sound churches. And we pray, Lord, for the restoration of real evangelicalism and true reformed faith and worship and practice. May there be in these days, Lord, such a ministry from our pulpits that makes clear who is on the Lord's side and who is not. And grant, O Lord, clarity in these days. Speak, Lord, we pray, and come and visit us, bless us, hear our prayers tonight. Lead us one by one as we come as a delegation to the throne, one leading the rest, and we shall say Amen to every prayer we hear. Help us together, and grant us, O Lord, much encouragement this evening, and may we see with our eyes the work of the Lord going on and increasing and becoming manifest more and more in our day. And may we be able to say, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And above all, great things for thy name and for thy glory, which gladdens us more than anything. Hear us in Jesus' name, for his dear sake. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, our blessed God, we are so thankful to be in this place where prayer is wont to be made. Amongst a praying people, before a prayer-hearing God. And grace has blessed us here, and it is our privilege to stand with those who stand for thee. We thank thee for thy word to us tonight, and we think of those men in the past who have stood in the breach and have delivered Israel from judgment and disaster. We've been reminded of Moses. We think of others like Josiah and Hezekiah who stood in the breach in the evil day. And through them, Israel was reformed and restored, and judgment was averted and removed. But we thank thee most of all for him of whom we've heard, who in the fullness of time fulfilled all these types and figures, and was the most excellent of all, who stood in the day of judgment for him, the day of salvation for us, and stood fast, and stood firm, and stood long to avert the coming catastrophe upon sinners and remove all threat of evil from thy people. We bless thee for him, greater than Moses, greater than Josiah, greater than Hezekiah, the greatest of all. As the angel said, he shall be great. And we thank thee that he was great, not least in his redeeming work. And he is great in our praises, and great as the one to whom thanks is forever to be rendered and to be given. We bless God for Jesus Christ our Lord. And we come in this hour when we see increased unrest and trouble in the nation. This last week or so we've seen upheaval in the place of government, and we have seen removal of those appointed to office. And Lord, it is a fearful time in which we live, but not so fearful that we are overwhelmed by fear and anxiety. For we know that thou art still enthroned on high, and thy will is done in the affairs of men, and thou workest all things after the counsel of thine own will. Be pleased to look upon us as a people and give us in this coming week a Prime Minister who will lead us in ways of truth and righteousness and holiness, that we may lead a peaceable and godly life and live in peace. We pray therefore for the nation, godly rulers over us. And we talk not of political parties. We want something beyond and above that. We want men and women who fear God. And we pray that you give us such. And as to the church, we recognize its feebleness, its sinful feebleness, at a time when it should be strong for the truth's sake and for God's sake. And how pathetically weak are the words of those who represent the church in our land. Forgive us for this, and raise up better men in the future who will teach the word of God without compromise and without any weakness, that thus saith the Lord may be heard again in our land, and our cities and towns filled with the doctrine of the Lord our God. And so bless nation, bless church. Grant that thy cause, dear to thine heart, the cause of Christ, the cause of the gospel, the cause of so great salvation, that cause may be prospered more and more. And what we long to see, O God, thou hast done in the past, when the kingdom of Saul waxed weaker and weaker, and the kingdom of David waxed stronger and stronger. And that's what we long to see, the kingdom of this world growing weaker, and the kingdom of our God, the God of heaven, waxing stronger and stronger. May it be that it will not be one deliverance from the throne of God as a result of our praying, but many deliverances, one after another, too many to be counted and measured. And give us halcyon days, days of the years of the right hand of the Most High, days of thy power, days of thy grace, days of heaven upon earth. Give us these days, and may we see the fulfillment of those words, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, though they be open, though they be threatening, and though they be in opposition to what Christ is doing, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And that is what we remind thee is written in thy word. And we desire to see with all our hearts a church that is prevailing, an evil which is defeated. And we pray for, therefore, the exaltation of Christ and the bringing in of his kingdom, that the earth may be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Bless every church represented here tonight, and those true and faithful perhaps not here tonight, but we pray thy blessing upon gospel churches all over the land. We pray with the Church of Christ from the beginning of this Christian era, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and forever. Hear this our prayer. We ask it through the name of him who is worthy and exalted, and the love of thine heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word tonight that has touched us when we realized that you stood in the gap for us, when we could not approach on the day. We are far from what we should be. Oh Lord, we desire to be like the gold. Oh Lord, take the dross from us as a people. And we pray, Lord, that you will refine us and make us the people you would have us to be. Oh Lord, we look upon this country and we see so much that is amiss, and that we've been governed by people who have no thought of thee. They do not call upon thee. They do not think of thee. And that is why some of these MPs have lost how to go ahead in the future. They seem to be lost in their mind and lost in their ways. Oh Lord, we pray that you might remove those who are foolish and put men of high caliber in those positions, men who look to thee. Oh Lord, if there be those in Parliament there, those who are Christians, may they be brought forward. And may those who are against your Lord, may they be diminished. May we see a good government again, as you have had in the past. Oh Lord, may people cry today. May they pray today. For they seek the wisdom of the world. And they do not seek after thee. Turn this country about to seek after thee again. Not only in government, but in our churches. Oh Lord, there are so many churches who've forgone your ways. They've followed the ways of the world, even to the extremes of breaking your laws openly, and even celebrating these breaches of your law. Lord, we pray that you will take the kindness of those people, those churches that are preaching a false gospel. Oh Lord, we pray that you will raise up churches that are reformed. And those churches that have that light in them, may you blow upon them and increase that flame in their hearts to serve and follow you. We pray that you might work your hand through this land, that you will turn back the tide, that we might see a growth again of churches that are faithful and true. Lord, we pray for those men who would serve you Lord, we pray for younger men to continue to be brought into the church, so that they might lead us as a people again. Lord, we need that fire to be burnt again in this land. A day of revival, a day when your Spirit works in such a way that it touches each and every one. And those who would oppose, may they be silenced. And may we see better days ahead. Oh Lord, then we thank you that you stood in the breach for us. You stood between us and our great and holy God. And you are our mediator. Oh Lord, we cry to thee. You will hear our prayers. You will enlighten us afresh. That we might serve you. And that your word will be heard again in this land. And that this nation will yet rise again. And be a nation that the world will look upon and wonder at the change that we pray you will do for us. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the throne of grace. Lord, we thank thee that sinners such as us may approach a holy God through the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We confess that by nature we are separated, that our sins have separated us from thee. And we confess that even as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is still so much remaining sin that we struggle with day by day. We see so many wrong things go through our minds, so many wrong attitudes in our heart. But Lord, we thank thee for the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has stood in the gap, as we have heard this evening. We thank thee that he is the daysman, that's that Job spoke of. We thank thee that he has reconciled us to thy Father. And Lord, we would come to thee in his name, thanking thee for his atoning death on the cross that has paid the penalty for the sin of all of thy people. We thank thee that the blood of Jesus Christ thy Son cleanses from all sin. That as we come to thee in his name, that all, every single stain of sin has gone. And we thank that as we come to thee trusting in thy Son, we are clothed in his perfect righteousness, justified and accepted in thy sight for his sake. And we thank that as we approach thee on earth, our great high priest is pleading for us in heaven above. Lord, we thank thee that his intercession is all-pervading. And so we would rejoice to come to thy throne of grace, and we would bring before thee the nation at this time. Lord, we are greatly saddened when we think of how our nation, which once knew so much gospel blessing, has turned its back upon thee. And Lord, we think of how increasingly we have seen governments legislate for those things which are abominations in thy sight. O Lord, we pray that in wrath thou wilt have mercy. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt revive true Christianity in this land. We pray that thou wilt pour out the Holy Spirit upon thy people, upon thy churches, and revive us. Yeah. And that through the witness of thy people, there may be others brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the nation may be transformed as many are brought out of the darkness of sin into the kingdom of thy dear Son.
Yeah.
Lord, we know that it pleases thee to use the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we are instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ to pray to the Lord of the harvest that thou wilt send out labourers into the harvest field. And so we pray that in these days thou wilt raise up many, many Spirit-anointed preachers of the true gospel, who will preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And we pray that thou wilt work through the preaching of thy word to to build up thy people, to make us more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that thou work through the preaching of the gospel for the conversion of the lost. Oh Lord, we pray that many may be awakened in these days to see the insecurity of everything in this world, to see that the things of this life are vanity, to realise that there is an eternity, and to seek after thee. Lord, we thank thee that this is still a day of grace. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ will not cast out any who come to him. But Lord, we know that no man can come to Christ except the Father draw him. So we pray, O Father, that thou draw many sinners to Christ in these days. We pray that thou keep churches established upon the truth. And we pray that thou keep churches in spiritual health, with that real seeking of thy face, that real spiritual life and fire. And we pray that new churches that are founded upon the truths of thy word may be set up. Lord, there are so many towns and villages in this land where there is no true witness to the gospel. Oh Lord, we pray that so much that many true churches may be planted up and down this land, and that there may be a great turning of the tide. Lord, these things are impossible to man, but possible with thee, for thou art almighty. And so we pray that thou do these things for the glory of thy name, and for the salvation of those precious souls for whom the Lord Jesus laid down his life. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We turn to our second praise, Psalm 131. We're going to sing the Lord's Psalm to the tune of humility. My heart not haughty is, O Lord, mine eyes not lofty be, nor do I deal in matters great or things too high for me. I surely have myself behaved with quiet spirit in mind. A child of mother weaned my soul is like a weaned child. And there's two particular themes in the psalm. First of all, humility. And then secondly, hope. And we notice how the psalm ends, upon the Lord let all the hope of Israel rely, in from the time that present is unto eternity. Psalm 131, to the tune humility, the Lord the psalm. My heart not haughty is, O Lord, mine eyes not lofty be.
My heart.